touch of hands so kind and tender. When Jesus walks beside me, for I'm sheltered in the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise, they won't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe.
Amen. That was a blessing, and that's not something Brother Sam just stuck in today because he knew it was their anniversary. I think he made up the special music schedule 2 or 3 months ago, and just worked out right. God is good at doing things like that for us. Open your Bibles tonight to 2 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Out of love and respect for God's word, would you stand as we begin to read in verse number 1? Follow me as I read this 21 verses in chapter 1. The Bible says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For we receive from the Lord, God the Father, honor and glory when he came, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Did you hear that? A more sure word of prophecy. More sure than what? A voice that speaks from heaven. He's saying to you, if you should hear a voice speak from heaven telling you to do one thing and the Bible tells you to do another, you go by the Bible. For the Bible is the more sure word of prophecy for us today. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. God's letting us know what he thinks about these classes that has the people sitting around and they're told, read this and tell us your opinion. Your opinion doesn't amount to a hill of beans. No scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, I've read that entire chapter to take my text out of the first verse. I just like to read it. I just wanted to get, I couldn't wait to get down to where he talked about he heard the voice speak out of heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," and then said, "But we have a more sure word of prophecy. Oh, my soul, what a treasure we have in this book. What a blessing it is to possess the Word of God, the mind of Christ, the will of God. We can read this book and know what God thinks about a subject. This book gives us the faith once delivered to the saints. This book tells us what's right to believe. Tells us what's wrong with our life. Tells us how to get right with God and stay right with God if we just follow the book. Most of the troubles in our lives today are because we have violated, as God's children, the teaching and the principles of this book. I want you to go back to verse number 1 and notice the statement. Simon Peter, a servant of an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained, here it is, like precious faith. Peter liked to use that word precious. Precious faith, precious promises. Like precious faith. That's what I want to preach to you about for just a few moments. Not a private interpretation of doctrine, but like precious faith. Father in heaven, help me tonight as I bring this message. Help it to be simple and plain and easy to understand. Help us to learn and grow that we certainly might become all that you want us to be for you. God, I'm convinced that we're content to stop short of what you desire for us and from us and in us. God forbid that we're satisfied where we are in our spiritual growth, when every one of us ought to have the attitude, we'll not be satisfied until we awake in your likeness. And fill me with thy spirit. Give me liberty and power to preach and help the message to be easily understood and find lodging in our hearts to help us to grow and become the kind of Christian you want us to become for you. Now, Lord, we love you. We need you. Again, we pray for those in our church that are going through tough times, those who are struggling with illness and problems, those that are in the hospital. God, would you comfort and heal and raise up. Be with our missionaries. Protect them. Empower them. Provide for them, that they might fulfill your purpose as you have called them. Now, Lord, thank you for what you shall do in our hearts tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Peter is talking and addressing this epistle to those that have obtained like precious faith with us. Notice, he goes on to say, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This epistle was written shortly before Peter's death. He mentioned in here that he knew that he would soon die. And he wanted them to be in remembrance of the truths that he's setting forth here. He's encouraging and instructing the churches in Asia Minor. These are the same churches that Paul had written to. And they're going through great trouble and persecution. Not only are they hated by Rome and persecuted by Rome, but false preachers and prophets and teaching false doctrine are challenging the truth that has been set forth as the faith, that body of truth that God has given the apostles and the church and to us to believe and to practice. He's challenging the churches to be faithful to the like precious faith received by all true believers. and to reject the heresy of the false teachers that were showing up everywhere. In the statement, like precious faith, Peter lets us know that there is one Savior and one salvation and one body of truth and doctrine, that it is precious faith. And it's the same for every individual, regardless of what false teachers are saying. One denomination does not have a different way of salvation from all others. If it's different from the Bible way of salvation, it's heresy. If a religious group presents any other way than the complete and finished way provided by the virgin-born Son of God and His vicarious death for us, it's heresy. He reminds us that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, Paul said in Romans chapter 1. Like precious faith makes available to every Christian the same spiritual privileges, whether we be the most obscure believer or the most famous apostle. Like precious faith makes available to each one of us the same promises and the same privileges. It is given on the merits of God's mercy and faith through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Not one of us deserves it. Not one of us can earn it. It's a gift of God. Like precious faith, we must accept it and claim its benefits personally and individually. It's salvation by grace through faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross and His resurrection. Now listen to me. A salvation plan that is different is not like precious faith. A salvation plan that must be earned before it can be received and must be kept before it's ours is not this like precious faith. A salvation that's ours only when we die is not this like precious faith. Now are we the sons of God, the Word of God tells us. If it's different, then it's not the same. Now, isn't that deep? I ask God to help me to make it simple for you, for the front row. If it's different, then it's not the same. It's not like precious faith. That statement, like precious faith, means it's identical. It's the same for everybody. If it's different than the Bible way, it's not like precious faith. Now in this chapter, I want to point out four thoughts about this like precious faith for our message tonight. The first thing I want to point out about this like precious faith is that it's a faith that knows. A faith that knows. Let me point out some things in this chapter. Look at the number of times that the Holy Spirit of God used the word know or knowing or knowledge or to know. Look at verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Verse number 3 talks about the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse number 5, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, talking about the knowledge of Christ. It's talking about the knowledge of this precious book. The knowledge of Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, that they make you, that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in verse number 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them. Know them. Look at verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. That's a truth that's common to every one of us. Look at verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. All of these times in this chapter, he's talking about like precious faith. And like precious faith produces a faith that knows. People that go around talking about they don't know for sure they're saved have not experienced this like precious faith. If one thing salvation is taught, one thing about salvation is taught in the Scripture, it's a salvation that we can have and know that we have. Well, I hope I'm saved. That's not like precious faith. Well, maybe that's not like precious faith. Well, I'm working at it. That's not like precious faith. I hope that one day when I stand before God, I will have obtained it. That's not like precious faith. It's a faith that knows. These things have I written unto you that believe, that you may know you have eternal life. There's a lot of things in this life I don't know. Since I was 15 years old, when I accepted Christ as my Savior, I can say on the authority of the promises of God in this book concerning the finished work of Jesus Christ that I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Like precious faith is a faith that knows. If we're recipients of this like precious faith, then we'll know that we're saved and we'll not struggle in our faith and assurance. Verse 10, 11, 12 lets us know that our calling to salvation will be sure in our mind and in our heart. Our election to the family of God by grace through faith in Jesus will be settled and sure. You say, how do you know? I believe God's promise. I believe God's book. I don't know I'm saved because I feel saved. I don't know I'm saved because I do everything perfectly. Boy, if that was true, I'd know I wasn't saved if I had to be perfect. I know I'm saved because by faith I've accepted Jesus, and this like precious faith has guaranteed me, has assured me that Jesus paid it all. He didn't make a down payment on our salvation. He paid for it in full. He finished it. That I'm saved today, I've been saved for 54 years, and I'll be saved until Jesus comes to take me out or my life ends in death. And when that happens, in a moment, I'll be caught up to be with Him. And I know that. I know it because of this like precious faith. It's a faith that knows. A faith that knows. He's talking about believing the book. Now, do you believe this book is the Bible, the Word of God? Then why don't you read it regularly? Won't you hide it in your heart? Won't you memorize it? parts of it. He said, I just can't memorize all of the... Hey, if this old 68-year-old preacher can memorize parts of it, you can. We don't memorize it because we don't try. You say, I don't know how to memorize it. Just read it over about 50 times. You'll get a good part of it. Just read a verse over and over and over and over again. Before you know it, it's burnt in your mind and in your heart. And the time you need assurance, Lord, bring to mind that verse you memorized. Say, does the old devil ever attack you? Yes. You say, what do? I do what Jesus did. I use the like precious faith against him. Use the scripture. God spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And yet, God the Spirit led Peter to write down that a more sure word of prophecy is this Bible than a voice from heaven. You see, old Satan will give Antichrist power to make a statue walk and talk. He could make a few statements if he wanted to that would seem to us as supernatural. And you know, the faith of so many is so small and so skewed because they don't know the book. They'd follow him. They'd believe his lie. Big part of the world, biggest part of the world is going to believe the lie, the Bible tells us. I got news for you. If you think the majority of the world's like you is saved, you're foolish. The majority of the world's in darkness. They don't know. They don't know. They don't understand the like precious faith. They don't have the book that guarantees it, that teaches it, that makes it plain for us to know. But we have it. Do we read it? You say, but preacher, there's things in this book I don't understand. That doesn't mean it's not true. It just means you have trouble understanding. But like precious faith supersedes our ability to understand and makes it possible for us to believe what we cannot prove and we cannot understand. You say, that's foolish. Well, then why did God put it in the Bible? He said very plainly in the scripture that through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Like precious faith makes it possible for the sinner to know that he's saved even though he cannot understand why God would save him. That's something I've never got settled in my heart. Why would God love me? Why would Jesus die for me? But he did, and I believe it, and I thank God, and I rejoice in it. I go to bed at night and sleep with peace in my heart about my eternal destiny because of like precious faith. It's a faith that knows anything less than like precious faith cannot provide a no-so salvation. Do you claim to be a Christian? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Only like precious faith in Jesus Christ can produce that no-so salvation. Like precious faith is a faith that knows. But may I say in the second place that like precious faith is a faith that grows. It's a faith that grows. Look at verse number 5, 6, and 7. And besides this, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And he said, all right, you're saved. Now, add to this like precious faith. It's a faith that grows. It's a faith that grows. What has your faith in Jesus Christ and the Bible produced in your life since you got saved? I promise you, Todd Lasseter is a lot different than he was 23 years ago when he sat back there and heard the gospel and accepted Jesus as his Savior. Like precious faith is a faith that grows. I doubt that he ever thought 23 years ago that God would call him to preach and that he'd be the associate pastor of this church. How could it happen? Like precious faith is a faith that grows. Grows. Just as a baby is born and begins to grow and learn immediately, so are baby Christians to grow and learn from the beginning of their Christian life. How old is a baby before it begins to learn and grow? I promise you, a week later, after its birth, if everything's normal, it's going to weigh more than it did when it was born. And they're going to learn mama's smell and daddy's smell and touch and voice. They begin to learn and grow immediately. And Jesus says we're babes in Christ when we get saved. Why is it foolish for us to think we have to be 10 years old before we can begin to learn and grow as Christians? Like precious faith makes it possible for us to learn and grow, and it begins as soon as we're saved. But in order to learn and grow consistently and continually, that Christian needs to put himself or herself in the place where they can learn and grow. That means regular time at the dinner table. Little baby, when it's born, eats every 2 hours. All day and all night, every 2 hours. Every 2 hours, Brother Costigan. Because it's growing and it's learning. And if the Christian is going to grow and learn, then we've got to sit at God's dinner table. We've got to have good exercise. That little baby will lay in the bed and kick its feet and move its arms. So what's he doing? Exercising. What we ought to be doing. We must take in and give out to be healthy physically and spiritually. We cannot expect like precious faith to do its work in us if we never spend time in God's Word or in God's house of worship, and if we never serve Him by reaching out with the gospel to others. We're not going to learn and grow, but like precious faith produces a faith that grows. As long as we live for self and follow self wants and desires, we'll end up in that rut with no joy and no peace and no happiness. I don't think it's any accident that the grace and peace are directly connected with like precious faith. Verse number 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. The things that really matter in our life for now and for eternity comes to us when we live our life to please Christ first by the standards and guidance of this like precious faith. The Word of God. Same to all. It's the same to all. Thirdly, not only does this like precious faith produce a faith that knows and a faith that grows, like precious faith produces a faith that shows. A faith that shows. Look at verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, everything we do in our life shows in us or on us. Drunks and dopers have hangovers, and it shows. A drunk or a doper's lifestyle shows up in their appearance as well as their pocketbook. Immorality steals away the peace and the purity from our life. The glow of purity is gone when a person is immoral. The peace of conscience is gone, and the innocence of life is gone. Our rightness with God is gone. And if you don't think that this does not show up in our countenance, then you're a fool. You're a fool. I said and counsel men and women and young people, and you can see in their eyes the absence of innocence when they've been immoral. It's evident in their countenance. You say, what are you getting to? I'm saying, like precious faith is a faith that shows. When we're recipients of this like precious faith, and we begin to live by the principles and the promises of this book, it'll make a visible showing in our talk, our walk, our dress, our relationships. Like precious faith produces a faith in us that shows to everybody around us. I've had people say, man, I knew there's something different about old brother so-and-so, old Mr. So-and-so. They got saved. It shows. It shows. It's a faith that knows, a faith that grows, and it's a faith that shows. And I've got one more point and I'm through. This like precious faith produces a faith that glows. A faith that glows when peace and grace fills your heart. It shows in your countenance. When your relationship with God is right, there's a glow about you. There's a glow. People can see that glow and know that you've been with Jesus. When Moses was upon the mount with the Master, he saw only the hinder part of the glory of God, and it changed his countenance so much that he had a glow about him, and he had to cover his face and head in order to go back before the people. What shows and glows about you? It's a faith that glows. Look at verse number 11. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now I believe what he's talking about here in verse number 11 is not just our salvation here, but after we've been saved, after we've obtained this like precious faith, and we've lived for our Savior according to the book, and this life is over, and we stand before God, he says an entrance, an entrance. Look at it, verse 11. An entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly. Now let me explain to you what he's talking about. Peter reminds us that for all those with like precious faith and have lived for their Savior faithfully here in this life, have something to look forward to beyond our ability to understand and describe in that entrance. You see, Peter was well acquainted with what an entrance was there in Rome. A triumphant entrance was an event in Rome where a public and solemn honor was conferred on a victorious general on his return from a successful war or campaign. He was allowed a magnificent entrance into the capital. In these triumphant entries, the victorious commander was usually preceded or attended by the spoils of war, by the most valuable and magnificent articles which he had captured. Also in that procession were the princes and nobles and generals and people of the opposing army that he had subdued. They were now his captives and his servants. The victor was drawn in a magnificent chariot, usually by two white horses. The procession came down the Appian Way and concluded at the steps of the palace of the emperor. There, he stands before his king, and he presents to his king the spoils of war. And the king rewards him with a garland and other rewards. Now, Peter is saying for every faithful Christian, every person with this like precious faith, we've got that to look forward to when we get to heaven. We're not going to be riding in a chariot down the Appian Way in Rome before an ungodly emperor, but down the corridors of glory and the street of gold, past the mansions prepared by God for the saved, the procession will end at the feet of the Savior. And there the child of God, with the fruit of his life after receiving this like precious faith, the souls that he's won, the lives that he's touched, the good that he has accomplished in ministering and serving for the Lord Jesus, whether it be in a Sunday school class or a bus ministry or the pastor of a church or a missionary on a field, God will stand before God and those that we have reached, those that we have won, will be represented as we present our life to Him. And there, the victorious Christian, the faithful Christian, that one who has lived that life of like precious faith, will receive crowns for their faithfulness. Except we won't take those crowns and put on our head or go into our mansion and set them there on the mantle so we can look at them throughout eternity. But according to Revelation chapter 4 and verse number 10, we'll take them and cast them at His feet. For it was all for Him. For Him. Now think, Christian, when you claim to be His child and you feel like laying out, you ought to ask yourself the question, is this for Him? When we get ready to steal our tithe, we need to ask the question, is this for Him? When we refuse to go soul winning anymore, thinking we're bigger than that and more important for that, we need to ask the question, is this for Him? When we think we've served enough and we find our place to quit, we need to ask, is this for Him? What kind of a quitting place is there in this like precious faith? There's only two. One is a casket. The other is a trumpet. And until then, like precious faith gives us something to live for and something to look forward to. And I'm here to tell you, when the faithful Christian stands there before Jesus and see His countenance and hopefully His smile and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Do you think there's not going to be a glow about that Christian's life that is unexplainable? Oh yes. Oh yes. If we get excited about winning a ball game, if we get excited about winning a trophy here, if we get excited about winning a contest here, can you imagine what it's going to be like when that like precious faith brings us to the feet of Jesus? And He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I'm here to tell you, like precious faith is a faith that produces, a faith that knows, a faith that grows, a faith that shows, and a faith that glows. Do you have His countenance about you? Is the Holy Spirit of God for real and in such control of your life that the light that shines from your testimony reminds everybody of Jesus? It's what I preached about this morning. Let your light shine. Father, we thank You today for the Word of God that's fixed. It's settled in heaven. It never changes. It's eternal. And it makes available to every one of us that body of truth and doctrine that's so vital for our life. You call it like precious faith. God does not treat some one way and others a different way, but it's alike to all of us. Salvation's the same for everybody. Not one of us deserve it, but it's free. It's a gift. And it's ours on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ, and You even give us the faith with which we believe. Oh God, I thank You. Thank You. Help us not to take it for granted. Help us not to be foolish in our Christian life. Help us not to be petty. So many Christians get their feelings hurt. They're not coming to church for You. They're coming for business or for self or pleasure or friendships. They're not coming for You. And things don't go their way, they get their feelings hurt. But that's not like precious faith. God, help us tonight to yield ourselves to You, to serve You in accordance with this book, to live for You, to honor You, and to glorify You with our life. Help us to do it, not because we have to, but because we love You. And we want to honor You and bring glory to You. Thank You for this like precious faith. Thank You that just the educated are not recipients of it, but it's the same for the illiterate as it is for the educated. It's not just for the famous or the popular. It's available to the most insignificant individual if they'll just come trusting You as Savior. Help us to grow. Help us to learn. Help us to mature. Help us to know and grow and show and glow because of this like precious faith. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet as we begin the invitation song.